Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. Happy Yuletide to you all. It is December 22nd, 2017. Yes, we have passed through the longest night of the year, the shortest day, the winter solstice, and on we move to the good old Merry Christmas time, which is actually a holiday run by, you know, the patriarchy, which is literally what it is, you know, ruled by priests, the very male-dominated Abrahamic religions. But it's actually a veneration of the female, if you know what you're looking for. Yeah, very interesting. Maybe I'll touch upon this on my show on Sunday, but you just think about Christmas Eve, which is kind of like Mother's Night. Heathen Vegan and Steed had talked about this recently, and they viewed it as, probably rightly so, the night before the solstice. And it actually, nowadays, is pretty much Christmas Eve. And then, well, you just look at the name for it, Christmas Eve. Yes, I know it's short for evening, but Eve is the mother of, you know, pretty much all of us, supposedly, according to their story, that is the ultimate mother, and she is celebrated then. And then the next day, what do people say? Merry Christmas. Yes, I know Mary means happy, but it's also the name of the mother of Jesus, right? And Mary is also what a man does to a woman, marries her. And we've gotten into this kind of discussion before. I'm just bringing it up. And then you look at the angel on top of the tree. Ah, yes, it is that female angel. And you also have the star as the other thing that is represented there. When I say star, I'm talking about the pentagram. And the pentagram is very much a symbol of Venus, as it does make a pentagram shape as it transits. Or, yeah, I haven't looked into this in a while. Hey, regardless, we are in the big holiday for European people. This really is a celebration of the sun. Not the Son of God, of the sun, the light of the world, not the blight of the world. And it is a beautiful time, and it is very much appreciated by the Aryan people, who often have been forced, not even willingly, chosen to go there, but forced into the coldest regions of this world. And now we're not even allowed to call those places home, but when living in the frozen tundra even, of some people in the extremes, well, the return, the birth of the sun is very much a welcome sight, a welcome thought, knowing, hey, it's only going to get warmer. Well, actually, not necessarily warmer, but it's only going to get brighter from here. And you know that spring is around the corner. The green world will poke through the snow, that we will see our time in the sun yet again. You know, I'm hearing something strange on the roof up there. And, you know, it's not Christmas Eve, so I'm wondering what this is. Is that you, Santa, up there with the reindeer? Donner and Blitzen? Oh, Donar, yeah. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, it's a different tradition. Tradition!
And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
It's the diddler on the roof. Tradition. I'm not going to actually play that here. Actually, you know what? Let's just hear a little bit of it. We have time.
Because of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years.
Balance like a checkbook.
Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes.
Yes, beautiful traditions.
For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl.
Okay, tradition. We're going to be talking about the Jewish tradition tonight. We'll be talking a little bit about the Chabad Lubavitch tradition, which is very much based on the book, or the books, you know, because they have the Talmud, which is a number of books, they have the Torah, and they also have the Kabbalah. So you have a lot of traditions for the Jewish people, and I really don't like it when I see Jews running cover saying, come on, it's these satanic kind of Jews, or they're Khazarians. This has nothing to do with Judaism, or some of the Christards out there saying it has nothing to do with Christianity. Well, your Old Testament is pretty much the Jewiest of the Jew books. Now, it's not the most, it's not the most vile and vicious. That would be probably the Talmud. But the Torah, come on. You guys follow the Torah. That is the... that really is insanity. Well, there you hear my son, the light of the world there, upset, I guess, that he's going to bed. Perhaps you don't hear that, but I do. Well, we will be discussing Chabad in particular here tonight because... Well, last week I had said I had planned to do my Chabad show on my Sunday night broadcast, but, some things came up at the last moment. I got a lot of trolls, and I didn't really even touch upon Chabad. But in this past week, we have had, a big, big event in Trump basically throwing such Chabad throwing such a big party after Trump's commutation of this Chabad mafia man who was put away for 27 years when he should have been executed on the spot. He served 8 of those years. So we will be talking about Trump's commutation of Rabbi Shalom Rabushkin. First, what I'd like to do is answer the call here. Bring on this caller and make an official round table. Welcome, Tyler.
Hey.
Tyler, any thoughts right off the bat about either tradition, our tradition, their tradition, or anything to say about this commutation before I get into it?
I got a lot of thoughts. I'm just trying to organize them right now. Quick thing about Trump, a lot of Trump supporters in my family, they keep throwing at least he keeps his promises card. And I just remind them only when he makes them towards Jews. So that's really all I wanted to add at the moment.
With his with keeping promises made towards Jews, it seems he has no roadblocks. Nothing can stand in his way. But when it's the promises that he made to the Goyim, you know, my hands are tied. He was even tweeting out, hashtag build the wall. Hey, dude, that was your promise. You were the one who was supposed to do it. Why are you tweeting out that a wall needs to be built? That's your job. It should be hashtag I'm building the wall.
Fence, or didn't they talk about now they're reducing it to they're going to just build a fence?
In some areas. I guess that could mean 90% of it is a fence and we've got a show wall here and there. Who knows if they're really going to do it. If they are, it does look like they are going to be using an Israeli firm. So an Israeli company will be the ones making a lot of money off of the U.S. taxpayer for something that wouldn't even really effectively deal with the issue. And honestly, even if we were to deport all of the illegal immigrants, what would that really do? Unless we deport the traitors and the dual citizens, we'll be getting nowhere. We'll just be dealing with a little bit of, a few problems here, a few problems there, never getting down to the root cause of our illness.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
just building a wall, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer patient. this tumor runs deep into our society. You got to get rid of all of the problem, not just the illegals, not just, the tribe members. You got to go down to every individual and deal with it effectively.
Yeah, and of course, Trump is never going to point out the people who brought in all these people who enacted the legislation to make it happen, because it's the tribe that he loves so much. He's never going to talk about Hias and all of the Jewish organizations that are working at every level to basically flood this country with brown people, and they're doing it in every other country as well. Now, of course, he's never going to bring that up. So, unless you do that, unless you call out the problem, you're never going to solve it. And it's not just left-wing Jews. It's right-wing Jews as well. There are a few kind of right-wing Breitbart Jews who will mouth some of the talking points that, are close to ethnic nationalism. But most right-wing Jews, the Bill Kristols, the neocons, and Trump is one, essentially. Most of these people are out in the open about their hatred of white people. Bill Kristol in particular was just laughing, having a good laugh about, how the white working class needed to be replaced.
And they're doing I hate to put it this way, they're doing a decent job at it. I was doing Christmas shopping today. And I just went into Walmart, and every non-white that I saw, a lot of them, they're dressed better, and they look like they're doing much better than we're doing, just the average working-class white man.
Oh, look at all the cars that they have. It's incredible. With great sound systems as well, because they want the whole world to hear the crappy music they're listening to.
Yeah, but just take a walk through a predominantly non-white trailer park. Yeah, they're living in double wides, but they got their Cadillac Escalade and their, big speakers in the back, so you can hear their crap music, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the amount of subsidies that go towards blacks and illegals and just brown people in general is insane. And if I was to have my food or a good portion of my housing paid for each month, I just think of all of the money I could spend on all sorts of things. Not that I even, have any big desire for material things. We pretty much have what we need. The big shame of it all is how much everything costs and how you're never actually free. Oh, you own your property? Really? Then try not paying your property taxes. Essentially, it's a big mafia scheme. And this has been set up for a long, long time. It's well before even 1913 with the Federal Reserve. We were sold down the river long before that. And, you can actually look at when the United States incorporated after the Civil War. But you go back even further. Charles Giuliani talking about the founding of this country and the Masonic plan, the vision. And you really have Zionists, even though Theodore Herzl was what hadn't even been born, you know, a century and a half later. These people were actually Zionists, maybe just a century later. Zionists in the United States government talking about how the Jews need to return to Israel.
Well, yeah, this Zionist, I believe our race has been enslaved for the past 2,500 years. I mean, even Julius Caesar, he kind of gave the Jews a pass, you know, right before he got assassinated. He gave the Jews a pass and kind of did what the British did and gave them, you know, Palestine after they were originally kicked out. He put them right back in there. And it wasn't until, I think, Emperor Titus that started cracking down on the Jews, and they actually sieged Jerusalem and things.
I know a lot of the history. You know, we don't really know the full extent of things, but I still don't really get it. How this ugly, depraved, just sickly people, weak, physically very weak, and in many ways dumb and blind, how they were able to enslave us so thoroughly. I mean, it's quite incredible. They've got some kind of juju magic on their side.
Did you hear that one rabbi? He was talking about, and originally, you know, his congregation thought he was using a metaphor, but he was talking about how they come from a different dimension and they were sent here to Earth. And then one of the congregation members raised their hand and asked the question, "What is your metaphor supposed to mean?" And he kind of says something on the lines of, "Oh, you think it's a metaphor?" I mean, it is a little outlandish, but
it's essentially they live.
I don't think they're on the planet.
It is essentially the they live scenario. How, it doesn't matter how literal you want to take it. That scene where you've got the aliens speaking to the human power elite and talking about the great gains that they have made as everybody else gets poorer, it's a perfect metaphor. It's all the good goyim celebrating along with the chosen overlords. They sold out. That's the WASP establishment in the United States. Actually, you've got a whole lot of other races in there as well. I think they needed to get the WASP elite on their side. You know, the Jared Taylor types, they look white to me. And they needed to have them in order to really be able to commandeer the American ship of state so fully without having a mutiny.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's just... You go ahead.
Yeah. Never mind.
Well, let's just talk about how obvious and in the open it now is. You've probably heard me bringing up Chabad over and over again, though not really delving in deep. And I'm not really planning on doing that here tonight because it's a round table. But I've just seen this as being such an important connection. This is something that needs to be brought out. I've been talking about it. And the commutation of this Chabad guy, this guy from the Chabad crime syndicate, is just, it is mind-boggling that this has been done. I'd say that this is more egregious even than Obama letting Israel have their beloved spy Jonathan Pollard back. Now, I don't know if he's actually gone to Israel yet. They were saying, "Oh, you've got to stay in the United States and be under surveillance, this and that." But then they pushed and they said, "You know, we want him back in Israel." And I'm pretty sure they're just going to go along with that. Nobody's even going to cover it as a story. They'll just do it under the radar. But with this guy, I just feel like this is such an egregious example of the Chabad crime syndicate ruling over us. And this goes to show just what a joke it all is when the United States is supposed to be against Russia. Chabad rules us both. And yeah, they want the goyim of both countries to be at odds with each other. But the elite, the owners of these and the managers of these two countries, they're run by the same organization. And I'm not saying Chabad is necessarily at the tippity top, you know, the ones running the show, but it's such an important connection to make. This is a very powerful group, even though some Jews will say, oh no, we see them as being, you know, extremists or wackos, and no. You know, it's not just those guys out there on the street trying to get people to put their tefillin on, or however you say that. Oh, you're a Jew? You need to wrap up your arm with this cube, put this cube on your head. Oh yeah. We're being assimilated by the Borg. You know, they move around in that cube. Whether it's the Muslims who circle around that cube, or the Jews who wrap it, spiral it around their arm. You know, it's these cube worshippers. And then the Christards, where Jesus is stuck on an opened up cube that is the cross. And, you know, I don't know, maybe the Christmas present in that little cube is related in some way. The day after Christmas is known as Boxing Day in Canada. There's a whole lot I can get into there. Anyway, let's talk about this commutation. I'm going to read briefly from Henry McCow's site here, not because I necessarily endorse the Jew who apparently is against his tribemen, seems maybe sincere, but I don't like what he says about Hitler and the National Socialists. I think he's off on quite a bit, and you can't really ever trust a Jew, but let's read this. Tuesday, we posted Michael Berg's article, Ex-Chabad Member Exposes Trump Family Cult, which demonstrated that Trump's family, Kushner's, belongs to Chabad, a racist, criminal, Jewish supremacist doomsday cult. That's exactly what it is. The very next day, Trump commuted the 27-year prison sentence of Chabad kosher butcher, oh, he's much more than that, Rabbi Shalom Rabishkin, 57, a GOP donor. Based. He had served only 8 years. To quote, Rabishkin, as manager of the family-owned agriprocessors meat plant, $300 million annual revenue in Postville, Iowa, was convicted in 2009 of financial fraud for submitting fake invoices to the plant's bank that made the company's finances appear healthier than they were so that it could borrow more. The bankruptcy revealed a $26 million scheme of fraud. That's peanuts compared to what some of these other Chabad and Jewish gangsters have pulled off over the years. In addition, in one of the nation's largest illegal worker busts, federal authorities raided the plant and detained 389 illegal immigrants in 2008. ICE determined that at the same time of their raid, 2/3 of the plant's workers were undocumented. It turned out the company itself was cranking out false Social Security cards. There were also 9,311 counts of child labor violations in the indictments, as well as horrific safety violations. Authorities also found a meth lab. Apparently, they were giving this to their slave labor workers so that they would be able to work harder. Had they had them on meth, and they were probably shipping it out as well. Continuing, plant supervisors in this hell on earth were involved in rape and sexual abuse of workers. PETA also documented and filmed what they called the worst animal abuses and extreme cruelty they had ever seen. I've seen some really bad videos, so this must be really bad. The Rabishkin criminal exploits and methods were documented in the CNBC series American Greed, The Slaughterhouse. The video has now been scrubbed from CNBC's site. It has been mirrored elsewhere, but this may not be online long. The White House statement cited letters of support for review of Rabishkin's case from more than 30 members of Congress of both parties, including House of Representatives Democrat leader Nancy Pelosi and veteran Republican Senator Orrin Hatch. This is bipartisan. As I said, when you start looking at Chabad, you realize that these little quarrels between our politicians are all just show. They answer to the same masters, and they doesn't matter who's in office, that giant Chabad menorah goes up on the White House lawn. Trump also pointed to bipartisan expressions of support for review of the case from over 100 former high-ranking U.S. Justice Department officials, prosecutors, judges, and legal scholars. How many of those are Jews? a large percent, I am sure. I have not looked through the 100 names. For Trump's very first criminal commutation, I reprise my 2008 article, Jews Must Face Dark Side of Judaism. So he goes on and reprints that. And that's one people can look into as well. We're dealing with a criminal mafia here. That is exactly what it is. You just look at Kushner, who is a Chabad kingpin, and you look at his family's exploits. His father had blackmailed his brother, or tried to. That's what got him sent away to prison. Charles Kushner, sexual blackmail of his own brother. This is the kind of people that we're dealing with here. And, I mean, that's just one of the many connections between Trump and Chabad. Another one deals with Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Oh, there's nothing there. It's a nothing burger. Well, actually, you have Chabad being massive in Russia. Chabad is essentially a movement of Russian Jews, and Chabad is often cited as the thing, the glue that held Judaism together in Russia during the Soviet years. So you had Felix Sater being Trump's trusted advisor on a big project they were working on together. Felix had Bayrock Group, and well, Trump pretended like he didn't even know him. They're pictured together on multiple occasions. And after, you know, all of this, all his criminal ties, his mafia ties, Felix Sater was celebrated as Man of the Year by New York Chabad. And you also have the Long Island Chabad hosting Myron Sugarman, the last Jewish gangster. Oh, he's the last one. That's right. Celebrating all of the Jewish mafiosi throughout the years, such as the guy who was running all sorts of heroin into this country, Meyer Lansky. Oh, but it was great because he worked with the U.S. government during World War II to fight against the Nazis, you know, to secure the ports. Yeah, the guy ran heroin in massive quantities into this country. Chabad is a criminal terrorist organization. And, oh, looking at Chabad with Vladimir Putin, oh, some of the best photo ops ever. You know, George H.W., George W., Obama, you know when all those Jews are surrounding them at these big photo ops at the White House? Those are Chabad Jews. Yes. We'll talk about this and more on the other side. Stay tuned.
Hearing all about Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!
So
Welcome back. Tonight I'm talking about Chabad Lubavitch. I mean, Lubavitch. And more. They do not love women, that's for sure. This is the patriarchy. Yeah, it's these guys might look like Santa, and they're not giving out presents. We have Tyler with us, and we also have somebody else joining me in studio here, so you could say hello.
Hello, everybody. Happy solstice belated, I guess.
Yeah, we can have warm tidings for the Yule season. Now, Tyler, are you the person who's been posting over on the Tribune as well?
Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, a lot of people have enjoyed your posts over there. I have, definitely. And the video, well, which was pretty much just a podcast that you had put together, the open letter to the alt-right, it has gotten a good reception. People are really fed up with them, at least a lot of people, at least our listeners and readers. So it's just good to hear other people talking about these issues and calling these people out.
Yeah, I figured I should say something because, yeah, I'd call in, you know, to try to participate in a broadcast, and you'd have the siege targs calling in, and it'd make it very difficult.
Yeah, it seems like the siege is...
I follow a lot of people on Facebook who are white nationalists, and then they start talking about Dickie Spencer and all them, and I kind of just block them and try to find other people.
Yeah.
So I got fed up, and I'm like, I'm just going to give my 2 cents out.
Yeah, it looks like the siege may have been lifted for now. That just shows the power of these broadcasts. They got, I guess, really concerned that we were even talking about them in a negative light.
It made them look so bad, calling in and doing that.
That might be why they stopped it. Oh, maybe Mason made an executive decision and said, okay, this is probably not productive. The sales of my book have not been going up. Stop calling in and saying, read Siege, faggot.
So immature.
Yeah, that's good marketing skills right there.
When there's so much that could be talked about, and they could use all of those that energy to expose the Chabad mafia if they were genuine. But they're not, and neither is the alt-right. How many people on the alt-right have been talking about Trump's first commutation of this Chabad? Nobody.
Zero.
I saw somebody saying in the comments that 4chan, you know, poll, 8chan, whatever, that in these forums, if you even brought up this story, if you started a thread, it was just deleted.
What? So, about the getting this guy
yes,
off?
Yes.
Whoa,
it's pretty much like...
Tells you controlled.
These people like to think that Kushner is just, he's the one in charge of what Trump's doing. Well, you know, if anything, it looks like Kushner is running the operation for poll.
Yeah.
You look at the agendas there.
Yeah. Wow.
So they just
run. So edgy, though. It's free speech.
They run cover for the Zog Emperor, just like David Duke. I wonder. I didn't listen, but I don't think he could sound remotely genuine trying to say that this dealt a devastating blow to the Jewish power elite. This commutation of the Chabad kingpin. The goy knows, okay, Donald Trump, the goy president, he knows. And he has dealt a devastating blow.
David Duke is complaining on Twitter that, you know, he's like, see this? The ADL has no problem with Sharia, but when you put white in front of it, then all of a sudden the ADL doesn't like it. So even so he's is taking white Sharia as if it's
would,
some kind of
he
serious.
He would love white Sharia.
Yeah, he would. I heard he was a womanizer. I mean, you know, of course.
That could be rumors. A cover for him being a homosexual.
Or a pederast.
Could be.
I mean, dude has plastic face. I mean, his face is made of plastic. It looks as if it's going to melt in the sun.
I love when people say just how attractive he is. There are some people, you know, shilling for David Duke. And such good shape. And, yeah, he does keep himself in you know, decent physical shape.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about his face, that has been altered a number of times.
Yeah.
Since back when he was the grand wizard dragon, whatever he was.
Right, and it wasn't because he got in a car accident. People were trying to spread that rumor. Oh, he got in, disfigured his face, and it was reconstructive surgery. I mean, I can't take any man or woman seriously that has had that much cosmetic surgery. I mean, you have something wrong with you, or you're trying to hide something.
Well, it's kind of like Lauren Southern, right?
I still don't know if that's her. I look at
that picture. Well, I just mean she's had cosmetic surgery.
I mean, I would not be surprised if you look at Milo and then look at him, you know, before and after.
They all do it to make themselves look less Jewish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I mean, that's just, we're talking about, you know, operatives. And then when you just look at normal, but like your average Jew, almost all of them get nose jobs because they know that, like, it's ugly.
Yeah. Since Laura Loomer is out there in the open as a Jew, she can talk about how great her rhinoplasty is.
Right. It's very common.
So they celebrate it.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I'm upgrading. I'm paying for an upgrade here so I look better.
Remember that movie Clueless? I'm sure people listening do. They had, you know, people just with these bandages on their noses in school. And I'm sure that actually happened in that area of, you know, California where all those Jews are. Like, that was just common high school procedure that the girls would just get nose jobs and they'd come into class and have the nose bandaged up.
Girls are getting boob jobs in high school. Given to them by their fathers as Christmas presents or whatnot.
Yes. Did you know that the top graduation present for a girl, I think in Connecticut, was a boob job for a high school graduation?
The Jews have us so messed up in the head.
Ew.
It's just so bad. And this is just such a glaring example of who runs the country, as I've been saying, with this guy who was running, really, child slavery, sex slavery, because they were being raped by the managers.
Yep.
So a Jew was running this horrific butcher, slaughterhouse, just the
torture,
the worst thing PETA has ever seen, has all of these illegal immigrants, you know, which Trump is supposedly all against. This guy running a modern-day sex slavery ring.
I mean, they weren't even illegal. They were just, like, freaking prisoners.
Yes. So he gets freed, while white people are not even allowed to be freed of our shackles of supposed guilt from slavery that happened hundreds of years ago.
And the worst part is people not really caring. Or it just being completely, you know, not even talked about from these top pro-white, you know, outlets. This is not being touched.
Yep, Tyler, I don't really have my finger on the pulse of too much these days, to be honest. I do information gathering, but I don't know what the TV is saying. I don't really know what a lot of these alt-right personalities are saying. But from what I can tell, they really haven't made too much out of this story. The main group that has been celebrating, of course, is Chabad. They're out there in the streets just dancing with joy. This has been huge for them. But, you know, because, and they're just celebrating because, hey, the goy did what we want. I don't think he's a goy, but you get it. The Donald Trump, he's done us this huge big one. Tyler, have you been able to, I mean, what do you know about the reaction that this has had? Are people even talking about it in your circles or what you're paying attention to?
I honestly, the first time I've ever heard of Lubavitch? I can't.
Lubavitch, yeah. Chabad Lubavitch.
Yeah, I've only heard it from you guys. I haven't heard it from anyone else, to be honest.
Well, that's just,
I don't watch TV, so I wouldn't know what's on the television.
Now, here's the thing. You've seen these Chabad people over and over and over again. But they were never labeled for you, right? These powerful Jews. And that one picture, Tyler, if you haven't seen this, you need to look up, it's the George W. Bush picture with the Chabad Jews. There's a guy right to his right. So it'd be, from our perspective, the left. Right to the left of George W. Bush is this Chabad Jew who, it looks like he has white eyes, or his eyes are rolled back into the back of his head. He looks like there's something serious, like he's possessed or something. Yeah. If you haven't seen this, look it up. There's something really weird with these Chabad people. And Tyler, you might have even seen the video of Bibi talking to Rebbe Schneerson. You know, so it's this this old Jewish man with the hat and the big white beard. Again, not Santa. This guy, he's talking to Bibi, and this is before Bibi was even prime minister, I think. He's saying, you know, we need to do more. You need to do more to make sure that the Messiah comes back. And of course, when the Messiah comes back, it's 2,800 goyim slaves for each Jew. That's what they're looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And the return of the Messiah also means, you know, rebuilding the third temple and, you know, sacrificing the red heifer and all the world run by Jews from Jerusalem. That's what they're looking forward to. And, you know, Rabbi Schneerson is actually viewed by many in Chabad as the Messiah. So that he was already here. He came. So yeah. That means that we are definitely in the end times from their perspective. And that's the way that they're moving on the chessboard.
Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I tell people, if you really want to know what the Jews are really planning, just read the book of Isaiah. They put it out there very, very clearly. You know, because people, you know, especially Bible dupes, will, you know, they trust their Bible. You know, you tell them to read the protocols, you know, they're not going to trust it out of hand because, oh, that's conspiracy or that's anti-Semitic or whatever, you know, ism word they can throw out. But you were talking about Bush and the Lubavitch Jews, and I brought up a web page, and this goes back to, which president is this?
H.W. probably, with the
Carter.
Oh yeah, well, Chabad started doing the menorah under Jimmy Carter. Yeah. It was a tiny menorah, yeah. You know, just a regular size menorah at the time. I don't know if they even had it out there, you know, in front of the White House or anything. It might have just been inside. But since then, you know, if you give them, you know, a foot, they'll take a 100-foot menorah on you. You know, it's they really.
Can I just add something really quickly that I've noticed that, since I've
it looks outside actually. Good. It's a tiny menorah, but it looks outside. They have this glass wall around it so the wind doesn't blow out the candle.
Oh, you're right.
And it's black all the way around.
Yeah, so you're right.
Night it, and it's outside.
It is outside. Okay, go ahead, Sinead.
Something that I've noticed when I've been out and about is there's a lot more Hanukkah decorations now. It's really crazy. You know, supposedly they're 2% of this country's population.
I think it might even be more now that they claim 2.6 or whatever.
Still. Okay, so you have like the Christmas ones, and then equally right next to it, you have the Jew star and the menorahs, and they're up everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen this many Hanukkah decorations ever.
And they don't even care. They don't even care about Hanukkah.
Right. But they just want to be like, no, we're here too.
They don't want the goyim to have any of their own traditions or celebrations.
That's right.
Oh, just the winter festival of lights.
Yeah.
You have your festival of lights, we have ours. And yours is probably based on ours, because you're Judeo-Christians, after all.
Well, yeah. the German Christmas market in Chicago. I went there a few years ago, and it got my blood boiling. So you have this giant German Christmas market, you know, and the actual Germans come from Germany to participate in it. We went there in our German class, and in the background, there's this giant menorah. Like it's like 30 or 40 feet tall.
Huge. I think that's described as huge.
Big league.
Big league.
Big league menorah. Trump menorahs coming this new year.
Celebrate Hanukkah bigly.
Oh my god, it's just the fact that people couldn't see how Jewish this all was when they were selling Trump yarmulkes. I mean, shouldn't that have been proof enough that this is going to be the most Jewish president ever?
I can't believe that people actually thought that he was playing them, that he was just saying
He's
words.
So funny.
He was saying words to them. This is what was said after his APEC speech in 2016. Andrew Anglin and the rest. Those are just words, guys. Just words. He's not actually going to follow through on those. He's our guy. Haven't you heard his dog whistles?
Yeah. I mean, he is following through.
You have the, Oh, sorry, what?
Well, yeah, he is following through on his AIPAC promises.
On everything. He said he supports Israel 1,000%. Yeah. They may still build a wall, but that's just when they're going to totally imprison us in an open-air prison.
You know what? You know how they're able to do this? I mean, they're still using analytics in a big way. Oh, yeah. A big way. So they have the tax plan coming out at the same time so that, you know, the alt-right can be discussing that. Meraki, a week ago, releasing a video, you know, Meraki of TRS fame. Oh, so funny. The GOP tax plan is totally Dankin based. And, you know, he just has this long explanation. Oh, how we're all just going to be doing so much better. White families are just going to be, you know, so enriched because of this tax plan. Essentially just revised Reaganomics from what I can tell. Nobody even, come on. Do people out there really understand all of the different, you know, pages and pages and pages of what this tax bill entails? And if you're arguing over taxes, meaning what percentage of taxes are going to be taken out from here or there, then you really have lost the plot.
Yeah. Yep, because it's still a usury system at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really freaking matter how many percentage points of the fiat currency.
Yeah. Are Jews still controlling our economic system? Well, no, because Bitcoin.
Oh, cryptocurrencies.
Cryptos are going to save us.
Yeah, Lauren Southern told me that, so it's true.
Yeah, give a Jew a Japanese name and put some mystique around him, and everybody's going to think that's totally our currency.
Wait, they gave a Jew a Japanese name? Wait,
what's the guy's name? Nobody really knows who he is. Okay. Yoshi something or other. It's not even his real name. Toshi? I don't even... I haven't looked too much into Bitcoin beyond just keeping track of what's going on with it. I think it's a scam at some level. Yeah, and honestly, even if you did make a lot of money, you cashed out, and a lot of people aren't cashing out, which means that they could just lose everything. Well, even if you do cash out, it looks like some banks are saying if you are even, you know, getting money from Coinbase, we're going to terminate your account.
Wow.
So you could even have the U.S. government come in and seize all your assets because they've talked about Bitcoin as being something used by terrorists. So at any given time, as long as Jews are in control of your system,
there's no way out.
There's no real alternative.
Yeah. You just have to get rid of that control for anything to work.
Yeah, but people just will chew on that bone that's thrown to them and ignore all of the beatings that have been inflicted upon them, like good little doggies.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic and very sad to watch happen. I mean, I was on the highway driving the other day, and there was some trucker that wrote Merry Christmas Trump on the side of his semi-truck, you know, just like, thank you so much for the tax cut, Trump. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be a good goyim.
You know, it really is like an abusive father.
Lot like Yahweh. Yeah. That's exactly it. Daddy, I think that's Trump. Why it's a program. It's a trauma-based program, and it works. That's why they use it over and over and over again. You have grown adults making excuses for their abusive, you know, gods, their abusive systems, the abusive overlords, and they just want to make excuses and go off into la-la land and pretend that everything's fine. And
he didn't really mean it when he said those things.
He's going to change.
When he cheated on me with Israel, he didn't mean it.
No, it's just words, okay? It was just words.
He
had to do it because he's playing 9D chess, and you just don't understand it. You don't understand him like I do. That's seriously how this is battered wife syndrome on a massive scale. That's the Trump train.
Yeah. Battered goy syndrome.
Battered goy syndrome. I mean, it's a real problem. Oh my god, our cat is such a jerk. He just got up there and knocked something off just because he's mad.
Well, he's mad. He comes in this basically the same time every night and wants to, you know, me to pet him, lay down the bedroom or something.
Jealous right now.
So when I'm on the air, he's pretty upset about it. He came in right before the show too.
I just look over and he just knocks it off.
Yeah, that happens when I try to sleep as well.
Or they bring in a mouse or a rat.
Yeah, we had a rat.
Or a snake.
Oh, I didn't even tell you. There was a rat out in the porch this morning.
Ew, another
at least,
one?
At least they didn't bring it in.
We yeah. have had... Wow. It took us a good 30 minutes to get a rat out of here the other
Last
night.
Last Saturday night while listening to Veganator.
Yeah, we're trying to capture a rat in a fishnet because our freaking cats had brought it in. It was there all day, hiding. In the corner. Didn't even know.
They brought it in early in the morning. I thought it was just a lizard.
Yeah, usually they bring in little geckos.
I've had snakes come in here as well. That's fun.
Bring little out tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
I had cats. Cat report.
Taking out a snake wrapped around a...
With tongs.
Yeah, with tongs. I had to pull it off. It was hard. Snakes are strong.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so we have a few other callers on the line here. Let's see. They're unknown callers, which means they're highly suspect.
I really hope it's James Mason.
Let's take this one first.
Let's talk about how it is to be a pedo.
Okay, hello, caller. Who's this?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You like getting slapped in the face with a big brown...
Was that James Mason?
No.
That sounded like the guy that calls in as James Mason.
I don't think so. All right, who's this unknown caller?
It's like I'm in, elementary school.
Yeah. Hello, who's this unknown caller?
Well, hello?
Yes.
You like being slapped in the face by Big Brown?
See? You think I'm not quick enough?
Oh my gosh, this is great.
That's so adult.
Like, this is, well, I'm hoping they're not actually, like, legit adults.
No,
but they probably are. This is what they're doing. This is what we're doing. This is what they're doing is we're trying to expose the Chabad Mafia.
Yeah.
Priorities, guys. Priorities. It's not like we have any kind of problem to, you know, focus on. Criminal mafia fucking everything up, you know.
The Christians hate us. The Satanists hate us. The weirdo Mansonite processed church people hate us. The Satan, they're basically, are they Jesus Satanists? They're a weird one. They basically view Jesus, Lucifer, Satan as...
It's like all one.
All one in Charles Manson.
Which is very Jewish, which is, yeah. All one in Charles Manson. We are all one in Charles Manson. You guys, he is like the patriarch of this movement. Charles Manson.
Yeah, he's who we should be celebrating this Christmas.
Yeah, good optics. Charles Manson. Send out Christmas cards with Charles Manson on.
Santa hat on.
They're probably already doing that right now on Twitter.
I did request, while we're off, you know, on a little bit of a tangent, I did request a little song here for the festive mood. If you could just give me just...
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Just
okay.
A little bit.
Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel.
That is so based.
Yep, thank you. I just wanted to sing that for Daddy Trump tonight because I'm so excited about the embassy moving to Jerusalem. And we are just going to celebrate, guys. So much winning. So much winning.
So based.
So based.
The moves he's made, just absolutely based. Nikki Haley at the UN.
Nikki Haley is... So
calling out all these countries all these anti-Semites who just won't stand with Daddy Trump and won't stand with Israel, but the base beauty now
she's gorgeous.
This is a beautiful woman inside and out.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forget her real name.
It's not Nikki.
It's
not Nikki.
Yeah, it does not sound white.
Wait, it's not Haley.
Hail Haley.
Hail Haley.
Yeah, hail Nikki Haley. She's so based.
Yeah, she's great. Yep.
Let me actually find her real name. Tyler, we're going into a break in just a second here. Maybe you can comment on any of this that we brought up, how Jewish it is hearing these stupid Christmas songs about King of Israel or Nikki Haley or whatever.
Actually, one of the jobs I used to work at, we actually... use Trump's name as an insult. So if you did something stupid or if you did something kind of Jewy or whatever, we'd call you a Trump. You're being a Trump. Actually, I do have a question. They have an alternative to milk, like almond milk, silk milk. Do they have a cheese alternative?
Yes. There are many different nut cheeses, or you can even get like rice cheeses, soy cheese. You can make your own. It's like, if you go to a health food store, there are so many different dairy-free cheeses now. It's amazing. They even have gourmet ones that are wrapped in a fig leaf. And then you warm it up and you eat it with like crackers, and it's like a gourmet cheese. It's so good.
You know what I've been really enjoying is the cashew yogurt.
Cashew yogurt is so good.
It's really good.
It's so, and they have live cultures, so like you're still getting probiotics in the yogurt. You know, it's like a, I guess, I don't know if it would be fermented per se, but yeah, you're getting what you would get from a dairy yogurt, but without, you know, the added.
The almond milk eggnog.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, what's the brand on that?
What's like, it called? Oh, Alafia or something weird.
Yeah, yeah. They make a creamer for coffee. Yeah, this has got us drinking a lot more coffee.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Kyle brought it home, and I was barely drinking any coffee, and now I'm like, do you want some coffee? I just want some of that salted caramel stuff. Yeah,
I was still drinking a lot of coffee, and I've always really had it black.
Same.
And without sugar or anything, but this looked pretty good. I wanted to try it. Oh, man, it makes coffee so delicious.
It's really, really good.
Okay, so I've got the name here for Nikki Haley. It is Nimrata Randhawa.
Nimrata. That's perfect. She's like a little rat.
Yeah.
She looks like one. If you see her side profile, she's got a hook nose. And she just is like, I can't stand when people are talking badly about Israel. Doesn't she have some ticks?
Yeah, well, no, she's a, you know,
just an American supposedly girl.
Raised in South Carolina, but no.
She's Amaretto.
She wants to portray herself as being one of the people.
Just a good old Southern girl.
She was behind the first kind of moves against the Confederate flag.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, we have actually joining us for the second hour here, Matthew North. That's going to be interesting. He's my guest recently.
Oh, nice.
I told him I was going on at 9. I went on a little bit early at the usual time because I was able to do so. I didn't know if I'd be the one having to put our son to bed here. But I got to get it started early, which means I get to end early and get a good night's sleep, and I really enjoy that. Matthew, we'll talk to you right after this break we have coming up here, and we also have Tyler on the line as well. Stay tuned, everyone. This is going to be a fascinating show.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
Thank you. Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Welcome back to the show here. I have joining us here in the second hour, Matthew North, who you can find on YouTube. Matthew, welcome.
Thanks for having me again, Kyle, and I'm excited to be here as usual.
We have a roundtable going on tonight, so if you have a lot of research that you want to really present in, you know, full fashion, save it till when we do our show. But right now, we've just been chatting about, well, the holidays, about Trump and his commutation of this Chabad Mafia butcher, this slave owner, and just how indicative it is of who rules over us, who has their Chabad menorah up on the White House lawn. But what have you been up to recently? I know you posted our recent interview over on your channel. Has that been getting some good traction, a good response?
Yeah, actually, I was pleasantly surprised with the response. I've gotten good feedback from it, and we really didn't get into too much in depth with the mob connection. But like you said, I'll save that for our next show when we can completely focus on that. And by the way, I got through that link you sent me, and that Bayrock and those Dutch shell companies are very interesting.
Oh yeah, that's Trump's Dubious Friends. That's the title. And yes, it is very, very revealing. And it shows what I had been saying and others had been saying for quite some time, and that was that the
call
Russian
Rick, this call Rick, this call Rick, this call Rick,
okay,
this call is
I'm gonna,
call
you know
Rick,
I'm gonna
this
do
call recording call
I don't know how locked. They're able to do that.
Wow, this is so
I think they might know the codes. Yeah, when they call in you could press numbers. Yeah, to screw with somebody. So yeah, I locked the
this
conference
call Rick, this call it call
and I'm
Rick,
going to
this
drop
am I doing
this
that?
Recorded.
Okay, I'm dropping the yeah, it's we're under siege again here.
We're under siege, we're in siege, faggots.
Yeah, so that really did nothing. You know, I'm recording this on my end. It's yeah, just that they're able to do that. And yeah, it's really just an annoyance. So for right now, it's just going to be us, and that's fine. We've got enough people here, yeah, between the four of us to have a good conversation. It's just, this is such a good example of how there are agents in place, whether they're just idiots or whether they're being paid, in order to derail any real investigation into the crimes of this mafia organization. Yeah. People are supposedly on our side, and all they do is just try to derail any real movement in the right direction.
Deflect blame from the obvious criminals. I mean, it's so freaking obvious. They're dancing in the streets right now. Woohoo! We're criminals!
Obvious troll is obvious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Matthew, the documentary, Trump's Dubious Friends, it goes off of this whole idea that Trump is in bed with the Russians, and it actually shows, yes, indeed he is, but it's not exactly what you think. And I was really surprised when I was watching this to see how far that they went in showing that this Russian connection is a connection to Russian Jewry, and that leads us also to Chabad and Israel.
Yes, and actually Israelis in some cases, like the Diamond guy, I can't remember his name, and a lot of Kazakhstani guys, which I found very interesting.
Yes.
Like that one guy, man, I really should have wrote their names down, but that one guy that was obviously laundering money through Trump's Soho hotel in New York, which is interesting because that's what Wilbur Ross and Vladimir Putin's son were doing in Trump Tower in New York. So we have two cases of him. Obvious money laundering. They're using bearer, not bonds, but shares, bearer shares. So, you know, they don't trace who the owner is. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah. And it's, you'd think, right, if the media really wanted to prove Trump's collusion with Russia, that they'd want to promote this film, right? No, of course not, though. They they want it to be discredited. They want it to be seen as a nothing burger. Oh, there's something
right, because
there.
If we go down that road of the legitimate collusion and legitimate criminal elements, then they connect right into that, and that's the last thing they want.
And this is what came out with the whole Flynn Kushner thing. And the, what was it? I think the Forward, or was it Haaretz with the article that said, well, probably the Forward, saying Kushner was right to collude because he was doing it for the right reason. He was doing it for Israel.
Wow.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we have also Nikki Haley just going and trying to bully all the countries of the UN. Now, I don't really respect the United Nations. I think it is the UN, but around the world, people do not just completely bend over for Israel the way that we do here in America. And it's the fact that America does that enforces this kind of conformity with the rest, that you have to love the Jewish people because, hey, we've got a whole lot of guns, a whole lot of tanks, and a whole lot of everything, a whole lot of money. And if you don't love them, we'll bring down the whole might of the U.S. military on you. Just look at what's happened to some people like Gaddafi.
Yep.
Yes. Hey, have you been paying attention to this Hezbollah stuff? Remember I mentioned that last time, and that a lot of the Trump propaganda arms like InfoWars have started to name them as the enemy. They've dug up this old article that links Obama to it, which I was previously aware of. That's what made me think that there's definitely been manipulation with Hezbollah for a long time, and they're now naming them as the enemy. I think they're the new ISIS. They're the new tool for war.
I forget where I saw it or who I heard it from, but it was somebody saying, oh, and yeah, they're funding these terrorists like Hezbollah. So you're right. This is the narrative that's being pushed where it's, oh, yeah. You know, maybe it was even somebody saying that you know, George Soros is funding terrorists like his. I don't know. It might not have been him.
They always love using George Soros.
Yeah, they want to see George Soros behind everything.
And he's Jewish. The funny thing is he's Jewish.
No, he's a Nazi.
They don't care about that.
That's not the important part. You have to point out, like Jewish Alex Nazi. Jones does all the time, that he was essentially like one of those Sonderkommandos. he was feeding Jews into the ovens at the behest of the Nazis. He might be Jewish, but he's just like those Germanic death cult members.
Yeah.
Tyler, if you want to jump in anywhere, just please voice your opinions here.
Yeah, I always question the George Soros Nazi story because it didn't make sense at all because we know the truth about the Holocaust, and that's the first part that makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, it's very convenient for them when they want to just show everybody is a Nazi. Well, you have everybody going and protesting Bilderberg, and none of them show up at AIPAC, and they'll just point out, even though, what was it, about a third of the attendees at Bilderberg were Jewish, and yeah, again, what are they supposed to be, 2% of the population?
Yeah.
You know, they'll never point that out. And come on, Bilderberg or the CFR, they're not the end-all, be-all of power in the country. Actually, they're pretty insignificant.
It's actually the Illuminati.
Actually,
you know that?
Pretty insignificant. But they'll always point to is this Prince Bernhard, you know, oh, he's a Nazi. So basically, oh, Nazis, Project Paperclip. They'll do everything that they can to spin it in this direction.
Yeah.
And he's been naming, Alex Jones has been naming Carl Junker as a Nazi, even though he was born in the 50s. And he's saying that he's behind the clergy plan, that he wrote the clergy plan.
Oh my gosh.
When clergy wrote it and the Jews funded it. And to this day, they're funding the NGOs and different things that are shipping these guys in openly. Like we talked about, they do this openly, but no one wants to make that connection because they're afraid to be anti-Semitic for whatever reason.
And they're still always pushing forward the conspiracy theory that Hitler was essentially the architect of the European Union. You know, he said he wanted to unite Europe, right? He was talking about...
How dare he?
You know, the Waffen-SS is trying to unite Europeans. Yeah. And no, it was a little bit different of a vision of unifying Europeans. Not quite,
against the Jew and communism.
Quite unlike the way Count Kuhnhof Kalergi intended to do.
Right, exactly.
We have a call here. Maybe it's legitimate. We've been getting trolled a lot. I decided to take this. Hello, Oklahoma.
You're asking for it.
I am asking for it. Who's this?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I don't really know much about Renegade, and I was just wondering, like, what is it you guys really do?
How about you listen instead of calling in, and maybe you can find out.
Conference. Worthless. Very productive use of time.
Worthless. What does you guys do?
This is very productive.
Man, they really do go after you, don't they?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
With the emails and stuff, you guys, I mean, every time I get an email from Kyle, it's flagged. I'll unflag it. It shows back up in the flag box.
Wow.
And yeah, some of the other stuff I told you. So I think you're a big threat to them.
Yeah, that's why they don't want to talk about Renegade or highlight our work at all.
Yeah.
They love to throw out Matt Heimbach or Dickie Spencer or whoever, because people go there and they look at their stuff and they're not going to be convinced.
They're turned off.
Yeah, they'll be disgusted oftentimes with these alt-right figures. Mm-hmm. Because they're made to be stereotypical in many regards.
Yeah. They definitely want to keep us from organizing the legitimate people, and they do a damn good job at it. It took me a long time to find you guys, and I'm glad that we're starting to build somewhat of a community here of legitimate people that are have legitimate ends.
And what's unfortunate is that oftentimes we've been able to do this through YouTube channels. That's how I found you. I don't know how I originally became subscribed to you. Somebody must have shared it on my Twitter feed or somewhere. But this is going to be a thing of the past pretty soon, it looks like. They've cracked down in all sorts of ways on all sorts of different social media. And YouTube has... How many times were you censored?
Oh my gosh, it's up to 10 because I've had, I had the 7 Goyim Goddess channels. I had a bunch of other Firestarter Media, Renegade Bit. Like, I've had way too many. I don't even try anymore, really.
Yeah, I had 10,000 Twitter followers before I showed the first time. You can't even reach up to 1,000 yet.
Yep.
So they've been effectively suppressing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's effective suppression. The websites are doing well, but for how long? We've come under attack there.
Yep.
To really go to extraordinary measures to secure everything. I haven't really told people about the extent of the efforts that have been made against us, but
it's been extremely crazy.
Matthew, you mentioned some things to me in the emails. I don't know if you want to bring it up to anybody on air in even a vague way, but you've experienced, let's say, some harassment yourself in real life.
Yes, absolutely. It's kind of scary stuff. They definitely don't want us to organize. That's for sure.
Even
just right after
talk
I walked
about
in the interview with you too. So
yeah, it's not even just organizing. It's just genuinely trying to have a conversation, and that's why they're sending in all these troll calls to try to shut down any kind of open, honest conversation, because we're not getting legitimate callers anymore. I'm just ignoring their attempts to connect to the conference because we're getting flooded. And it's all just been crap other than Tyler, who was in on the beginning, and you yourself. It's unfortunate.
It's unbelievable.
Because you said...
It is.
You're talking about Chabad. That's way too close to the truth. And that's really all that it is. This is the Chabad Mafia running the fucking world right now. Well, so,
Matthew,
that's
how absurd is it that you, as a researcher, had seen all of these... Chabad manifestations or Chabad Jews. You see them surrounding Vladimir Putin. You see them surrounding all these presidents. You see them with the menorah. You see them everywhere in positions of power in countries, even that are supposedly at odds with each other. You see these Chabad Jews, but you didn't even know they were Chabad Jews. I think part of the conspiracy is just for us to call all Jews Jews and not to actually identify the criminal organization that is oftentimes unifying their efforts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree with that. And somewhere along the way, like last time I was on with you, I originally called them Zionists. But then you want to, because globalism is a red herring term, and you never understand who the tribe actually is.
Yeah.
So somewhere along the way, you start naming them by their tribe, the Jews. But I agree with you. These are criminal enterprises. These are criminal organizations, and you have ones in the U.S. and you have the Hasidic movement like Chabad, and they're the same people at the highest levels. I think that's the most important connection to make, that these are truly the same people at the highest levels, left or right. Like I said, that's why they don't want you going down the legitimate Russia route, because the left ties right in with the rest of them.
Yep.
And how insane is it with this recent commutation where you have Nancy Pelosi on one side and the Republicans on the other? You have bipartisan support for freeing this guy, not because he was wrongfully charged, and wrongfully convicted or anything like that. It's because he's a powerful Jew. Did they give any kind of legitimate reason why this guy should be freed?
Nope.
There's none that can be had.
Executive decision. Okay, don't question it. Daddy knows best. All right.
Think of all the small infractions you could commit and get thrown away for years upon years. Now, pretty soon it's going to be even just saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's coming very soon. So
I mean, that's just incredible. You have this guy who's running a child sex slavery operation.
Torturing animals.
I mean, committing all the children. I mean, the financial fraud was should be enough. Yep. But add on all this other terrible stuff, running a meth lab out of the slaughterhouse.
This is just over the top.
It's so over the top.
This is fucking ridiculous.
As David Duke would say, Donald Trump has delivered a devastating blow.
Oh, I was about to say death blow.
It is. This is like a death blow. But honestly, I am thankful that Trump has done this, because it will finally shake people up and show them what's really running the show.
Until the next person comes along, it's like, guys, I totally hate Jews. I'm gonna put America first. But
hey, speaking of that, I wanted to bring up this Paul Neelan guy. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to him. I've seen him being promoted quite a bit on Twitter, and some of the things he says are pretty decent. He's the challenger to Paul Ryan's seat. Has anybody been paying attention to him?
No.
No idea. No.
Paul N-E-H-L-E-N.
Tyler. Yeah, I just looked him up. He's all over.
Did you say you had heard of him, Tyler?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so he's putting out pro-white messaging. He's going toe-to-toe with Jews. I mean, he's coming at it from the Christian angle of, basically you just need to have love in your heart with Jesus. But he's doing it in a way to mock some of these Jews. So I understand why people are supporting him. But he does say some things that should throw up some red flags, such as, all lawful speech should be protected. Now, that's an interesting term, lawful speech. Shouldn't he be saying free speech? Yeah,
a bit of semantics.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. But I do think that we will see a lot of people, just besides Paul, who are trying to capitalize on what was seen as the kind of Trump movement or the alt-right. They're going to start trying to appeal to us more and more.
Yeah.
Because the society is so divided, and they want to wrangle us back into any kind of controlled container, which is what politics is all about. We're not going to get anywhere by voting.
From what you just said, he sounds like the next Richard Spencer, in my mind.
Yeah, I was going to say he's probably connected to that same think tank.
Yeah.
Because there's money coming from somewhere every time with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you could trace it with MPI right back to Regnery's Regnery's republishing, and then going back up to the CIA from the early days of the CIA.
Yep, and then doesn't Dickie have his own publishing company too?
I don't know. Pretty sure he does. I know his wife or ex-wife. I think it's still technically his wife. That thing that she publishes all of Alexander Dugin's work.
Yeah,
so
she translates all.
I don't know
stuff.
What that. Yeah, she translates mm-hmm. it. I don't know what that's being published. Is Arctos? I think Arctos.
Yeah,
puts
I think
it
Arctos
out.
Is Dickie's.
No, that's not Dickie's.
What is this? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's. I think Countercurrents has their own publishing too.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of books. Now, I'm not against books, but this whole movement shouldn't be based around buying yeah. books.
Did you read that book? You're not in the movement.
At a certain point, I think we've figured out enough. I don't think we need to really just dig deeper and deeper and read yes. Evola over and over again or
yeah. Turner Diaries.
Yeah, read the Turner Diaries one more time, you know, or Spengler, whatever the case
may be. And
those
always they always have bad you know, connotations with those, like those have been so demonized in the media and stuff. So when people hear that, like, it just causes that automatic division. And I'm not a fan of labels anyway. I think that that's always going to turn out bad. Like when you label a large movement something, it's always going to get directed in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of books, I did want to bring this as we're under siege here with calls still coming in every few seconds.
Wow.
I wanted to bring up Siege because I really do think that they have set up this movement, set up this book yeah. with Siege.
What is that, by the way?
It's
I've
a
never
book,
heard of that.
A book
I had a couple comments of people saying that you can't debate and just bizarre comments.
Because I won't yeah. bring on a guy who openly had relations with a 14-year-old girl, was taking nude photos of her, who praises Anton LaVey and Charles Manson. No, I don't want to bring this
guy
on my show.
That did the National Socialist stuff in America.
He had his American Nazi party after George yeah. Lincoln Rockwell was assassinated.
Okay.
I think he had worked underneath him. His name is James Mason. And, you know, he was tying in some Satanism with it and just all sorts of disturbing stuff. I mean, come on, he's yeah. praising Manson. And
praising Anton LaVey, a Jewish gun runner.
Who ran guns to Israel. So, no, I don't want to debate this guy, but what I was getting at with Siege is I really think that this book has been set up to be the new Turner
yes,
Diaries.
Yes,
and we'll
time.
See something very similar to, if they have their way, to
happened.
Oklahoma City. And it kind of already happened
here
with
in
Charlotte.
Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Waffen. And then they had bigger plans to blow up the nuclear plant in Miami. Apparently, you know, and then Adam Waffen has the nuclear symbol as their little logo.
Yeah, Adam Waffen promotes Siege. They're part of this whole Siege culture thing, and they had
a rope culture.
And they had the Muslim member who then killed one of the other Adam Waffen white members,
yeah.
you know, because he's an infidel or something. You know, I can't get a straight story about that. They say that we're wrong. They say that we're wrong about all of these things. They say that we can't debate, but I've never seen them put forward any kind of argumentation in the comments. They don't
yeah.
try to say you're yeah. wrong on this point, that point. Here's the real truth. They never yeah. say that. They just keep saying, read Siege, faggot, or debate James Mason. No, I'm not inviting a vampire into my house. I'm not going to promote somebody, and even if I'm debating him, who is legitimately a big threat to our movement, who is trying to paint us all as terrorists.
Terrorists. Like, even that Will guy that you had on your show, you know, that
yeah.
the one that who we found out was, like, totally a fucking plant. He, in the comment section, was like, we need to be more like Anders Breivik, Dylan Stormroof, Timothy McVeigh. He named every single, like, fake patsy, I mean, whatever you want to call it. I don't even think they were real events. I think it was all just psyops. But he named every single one of them that was, you know, the terrorist that was supposed to link to white people or white activism. And then said, we need to be more like that. I mean, that is such an obvious provocateur right there.
Yep.
And look, I'm watching these calls like keep flooding in as we're talking about this. I mean, the truth is, there it is. It's on the table. Like, what are you guys going to do about it? I guess you're going to have to kill us because, I mean, this is the truth. Why? Well, I mean, this is it. they keep coming in. They keep calling.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Bizarre. I noticed a lot of those guys had Dylan Ruth as their, like, profile picture.
Yep.
Yeah, that just reeks of FBI to me.
Yeah, it's so obvious. Like, you guys suck. You guys have terrible tactics. I'm not talking to you two on the line.
We've talked so many times about Anders and how, come on, he goes over, supposedly Anders Breivik goes over and kills 70 plus children who are boycotting Israel on the island of Utoya. Come on. Mm-hmm. He's a great.
He blew up buildings before that too, apparently.
Right, the government building. where nobody was.
Blew some stuff up that day.
And
took a ferry.
And then he went, I think he took some, he took his own boat or something.
It's so fake.
Yeah, he had all the photo ops ready with the white background.
Yeah, it was like a green screen with like heart, he had a harpoon. Was it a harpoon? Yeah, he had like some weird gun
thing. I didn't know it was a harpoon.
I thought he had a harpoon and he was in a wetsuit.
He was in something of a wetsuit. I think it was a regular rifle, but.
Oh, okay, I thought it was a harpoon.
He also had the one with the Masonic gear on.
Yes, he had the apron, the Masonic apron.
Yeah. It's come on. It's so ridiculous. They hold this guy up as such a hero. It's the same Daily Stormer type of crap that we see all the time.
Yep.
And he talked about how we need Europeans to start siding less with the Palestinians and more with our great ally Israel. But this is our guy. Yeah.
That's like Peter Sweden. The Palestinians are such brats. They need to stop complaining.
Or Lauren Southern or Faith Goldie or any of these people.
Oh, Faith Goldie was on the Red Ice Merry Christmas Yuletide special, okay? With Carolyn Emmerich and Ayla and everybody that's fashy.
Here's the deal with Faith. If she says, like she does every time, that I forget his name, Evra or whatever, the Jew that runs Ezra. The rebel, if she says, well, he's still a good writer and I'm still on good terms with them and that's still a good organization. Obviously, she's still getting paid.
Yeah.
Like that one gay kid that exposed
Colin.
Them, they pay him hush money. Yeah. Yeah. So she's still on the payroll. And they also repeat the same talking points. Like it was interesting. I think it was Brittany and then Faith and then Alex Jones. They were all repeating the same talking point. Like, now I truly see a war on Christmas. Like word for word, and they all have these Vatican crosses I've noticed. So I think this is the Vatican CNP guys.
Interesting.
Which is a Jewish mob, but I think they're starting to infiltrate because the evangelicals have held this conspiracy culture for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it really is like those Conan clips where you have the different talking heads on local news stations all across the country saying the exact same thing. Oh, so-and-so is really pushing the envelope, and they just have it over and over again. You could do the same thing with the alt-right, pretty much.
Yeah.
And definitely. Then you go, Alex Jones, same. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the exact same talking point. You can see it with the tweets as well. And they unleash their bot armies, too, to do this.
Yeah.
You see the same exact tweet from all these people trying to cover up some conspiracies. You saw this with Pizzagate. There were a whole bunch of bots who were trying to keep people away from certain people and topics.
Yeah.
Yes. Alex Jones definitely is strong in the bot game. There's no doubt about that. And you can tell when it's bots. Like, I've seen organic growth on my YouTube videos, organic comics and likes and dislikes. When they set those bots in, it's always a wave of them. They come in waves.
Yeah.
And they all say a variant of the same thing. Like, it's super obvious what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious now, we think. But I think some of the people we're dealing with might not even be people, and we think that they are. Honestly,
really?
I think I don't mean people that you talk to on, a show or something. I'm talking about some of the personalities people are friends with on Twitter.
They
might not even be real. AI is much more advanced than people think.
Yeah.
And yeah, some of the low level bots, you can kind of easily tell, but you look at some of the support for, let's say, Faith, on these videos she's on, I think a lot of it is kind of bought Hasbro, but it looks pretty convincing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. They definitely use AI. And you know what's funny about the whole alt-light and stuff and the whole Trump movement, most of them are anti-AI and stuff, but Robert Mercer, the guy who dumped his analytics assets onto Trump for his benefit, was a pioneer in AI. So... the guy behind, or a huge guy behind Trump, pioneered AI. So, I mean, there's always hypocrisies, just like Steve Mnuchin and Jared Kushner worked with George Soros their whole career. you know? So
it's interesting that what Robert Mercer has with Cambridge Analytica, I mean, this AI type of technology, this strategic planning that they use, it is called a black box kind of technology because you don't really know what's going on inside of it, right?
Well, yeah. And SCL Group is the parent company to Cambridge Analytica. They say that Cambridge Analytica, they only used Cambridge Analytica for Brexit and for the Trump election. They said that SCL Group wasn't involved. I tend to not believe that. But SCL Group admits that they use military-style PSYOPs. That's originally what they were, was a PSYOPs, private PSYOPs company. They mine your data, and then they run it through an AI, and that AI sets up a psych profile on you, a very accurate one, and then they micro-target you with specific messages, and Trump is always the savior in these messages. And
when they're targeted to people like us.
Right. Yeah. Targeting you on an individual level. So you think that these are organic articles and, oh, I just like this video and I'm seeing this article about the same topic and Trump is always the solution.
Wow.
That's Cambridge Analytica. That's mind control. That's what it is. Yeah.
And I just think it's interesting that it's called a black box technology because you have a similar kind of, well, data mining and targeting being done by Black Cube, the Israeli firm, which is just one of a few other ones that was recommended to Harvey Weinstein. Wasn't it Ariel Sharon who recommended it? No, it was Shimon Peres, right? Who recommended it to Harvey to use to go after and target these people and make them think that they were actually on their side. I'm going to pose as a feminist who, you know, was trying to help you, trying to spread the message, even though I'm an Israeli agent. Isn't that interesting? It's pretty much the same thing.
I'm sure we've interacted with so many of those people. I know that for a fact.
Emanating from the black box, whether it's Cambridge Analytica, Black Cube, or we could just be talking about the Muslims, you know, the ones that worship the black cube, or Chabad with their cubes that they strap to their foreheads, the black cube, and to their arms. And then you look at what is in the middle of a hexagon. Well, it's you can form it into a black cube. You add the little Y in there, and that is a two-dimensional representation of the three-dimensional cube. So you have this six-sided, the star and the cube kind of relating to each other that way. This goes deep, really deep. I don't want to go much deeper about that aspect here tonight. But damn, we are up against a pretty aggressive machine here who it's manipulated so many people throughout time, and it's only getting more sophisticated. But still, at the same time, I do think that there are kind of cracks in the wall that are forming, and if there's never been a better time than now. Yeah, we should have taken care of this a long time ago, but I really feel like this is our opportunity now.
Yeah, I would agree. Like you said, the cracks in the wall are really starting to show now with these mob connections, Chabad. I know you've been doing some great research on that. And then the mob connections within the U.S. But yeah, and the flip side, if we can organize and like you said, just have conversation, we're going to awake something very ancient and very powerful. And I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to come out victorious by the end of this.
We can break through their mind control very easily. We just need to have people listen to or engage in this kind of conversation, even not necessarily with us, with anybody out there who picks up on what we're saying. They really don't want this to get out there, but the cat is out of the bag. They'll keep trying to ignore. They'll keep trying to suppress, but it's only a matter of time. I just want to do everything possible to hasten the time such that, because I can't stand living under this.
Me neither. It's not living. It's just,
even if you can have a little bit of the good life, right? If you can have some of your material needs met, you can have some nice days out there. If you could, you can escape to the countryside and maybe you won't get chemtrailed as much.
Still will though.
But it's just, there's no escaping it. We can't run anymore. That has always been the big problem, is that people just want to flee. They want to have the white flight. And all these people, they're pushing the space crap so much. so much. I see all these damn memes. And as soon as Trump got into office, it was just like Reagan talking about Star Wars and everything. Trump is talking about, oh, you know, space travel and we're going to Mars and everybody, the whole space program is, you know, completely revived and everybody's talking about interstellar conquest and whatnot. It's so retarded.
And then you have that Elysium movie. Remember that? Where they go and they live on Elysium, remember?
Yeah, yeah. What's
the white utopia in that?
It was run by an Indian, though.
Was
it? No, maybe it was a white woman and an Indian were head figures. Yeah. Maybe that's what Nikki's role is going to be.
Nikki Haley?
Yeah, Nikki Haley.
Well, you know what's funny about the NASA stuff? There's an interview with Trump that's in some of my videos, and this is hilarious to me. It's like early 2015. He's doing, you know, just at that cusp of him starting to get into the race or whatever. But he's doing an interview with Fox, and this lady's talking about Obama's dumping all this money into NASA. And Trump's like, starts laughing. He's like, oh, I'm not going to spend a penny. I'm not going to put a penny into NASA. It's all going to go towards infrastructure and bridges and airports before I ever think of Mars. One of the first things he did when he got in office is give $20 billion of your taxpayer money to NASA. Now, if you don't understand NASA is a scam, look at NASA during the 80s, late 70s throughout the 80s. There's a couple audiobooks on YouTube and stuff. They were so blatant, like, oh, we're going to put up a satellite and we need $200 million for it, but we don't have to show you proof of anything. We'll just take your $200 million. Like, that's what they're doing.
God. I love that documentary that came out of that leaked footage. Was it Something Funny Happened on the Way to the Moon? Where they show how they're in a fake capsule really close to Earth trying to, you know, to make the image look like a small little Earth. That's a pretty good one. In any event, they've been faking stuff for so long. All the spacewalks and everything. People eat it up, though. They love it. It's such a good distraction to keep people from focusing on what's being done to us here and now on Earth.
They program it from a young age. All the boys' stuff in the stores for young boys is space. You know, like planets and rocket ships. Space, space, space.
Well, you know what Robert David Steele, that great truth teller, Unrig, said is that, there's something about, this is when he was on the Alex Jones show. He comes out with this for the first time about, how NASA or, you know, the secret space program is sending all these child sex slaves to Mars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and let's not talk about the real child sex slaves here and in Israel and all over the world. No, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the ones getting shipped off to Mars.
I wonder how much of that is mind control, because there's some people that truly believe in what they're talking. And there's it's an anomaly. There's an abnormal amount of people that have that similar experience. I bet those are mind control programs. That's what I think those are. But I agree that distracts from the real child traffickers.
Yeah. When did this all start? It started after the CIA, right? The CIA actually formed in the same year as the Roswell incident, 1947. And hey, that was also the founding of the State of Israel.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happened in 1947, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely did. All right. Well, this has gone by pretty quickly. We have about 20 minutes left here. I want to see if Matthew or Tyler, you had anything else you wanted to bring up that you thought was a pressing issue here that has transpired in the past week or so, or anything that you're keeping your eye on.
I do, but I want to give Tyler a chance to talk if he's got something.
Yeah, I got something. Do you think kosher food has something to do with the mind control or spiritual control?
Yeah.
Well, Matthew, you want to field this one? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I honestly can't tell you. I didn't eat pork for a while, like back in the day, because I think everyone goes through that Christian phase. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what the point of that is.
Well, yeah, I don't know. If the rabbi blesses all the food for the goyim, pretty much. Most people eat kosher food. What's that doing? What's this rabbi speaking words over our food doing energetically to it? Is it some kind of spell that's being cast on it? It's something to consider.
Also, kosher slaughter, like they have the animals suffer and bleed out. So like you're consuming
those fear hormones in the animal because they're being tortured and bled out. So it's a slow, long, painful death.
Oh, they say it makes it taste so much better.
That's how sick they are. They say it tastes better. And that's what that Chabad guy that was freed, that's what he was doing. He was like taking, you know, just ripping their tracheas out with meat hooks and letting them bleed all over the place. And that's kosher slaughter.
Well, and it happens to humans as well. I recently just posted the old Oprah interview where she's talking to this Jewish woman who's saying, yeah, I came from a family where most people just look in and think that we were just a normal Jewish family. But behind closed doors, like many others that we knew, we were sacrificing babies and eating, you know, people, cannibalism, and all this other stuff. Yeah. And honestly, I think that the percentage would shock us if we were to find out how many Jews actually participate in such activities. Of course, it's not all Jews.
Right. But it's part of their, you know, beliefs.
It's part of our Judeo-Christian heritage.
Body of Christ. The blood of Christ.
Yeah, they really
have. That was
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay. That was a huge issue when the Jews were moving into like Russia and stuff. You could pull up old writings about that. They were sacrificing the German girls, the Russian girls, the Slavic girls, left and right. That was a common thing back then, to watch out for the Jew to take your daughter and sacrifice her and use her blood for their rituals. Because like you guys said, that's part of their culture. That goes back to Babylon. That's what Judaism is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And go ahead, Tyler.
Charles Giuliani did. He talked about how their God commands it. That he commands human and child sacrifices to him. I wonder if you were to kick down the doors of every Jew in the country, how many of them would actually be participating in this?
I'd say a lot. Yeah. They have to be good Jews.
Look at all the missing children,
mm-hmm.
especially around D.C.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go.
It's sick.
Yeah, and
I love how they emphasize not all Jews are doing this.
You know, Matthew, and the listener out there, you might want to look up, Tyler, you can look at this up too, but I've been trying to really get Matthew look into Chabad. There's an interview that Oprah did where she actually went to a Chabad family's house. You know, she asked them about Rebbe Schneerson, his picture on the wall and everything. This was long after, you know, the interview with the woman who was, you know, part of a Judaic satanic coven or whatever. By the way, they don't call themselves Satanists. That's just the way people
interpret it.
Yeah, interpret it. But they're Judaic. She's just really trying to normalize this Chabad family. And you think it's beautiful. Rebbe Schneerson on the wall.
Yeah, and it's completely alien to our real culture here, our real Germanic and Scandinavian cultures.
Oh, yeah.
But we just go along with it because, hey, they control the media and education. And it's really sad. Like, I don't know if you guys know what Periscope is. I'm going to do a video about this. Like, you can go and connect with people in Sweden or, you know, some blonde-haired guy or girl in Sweden or Germany, and you talk to them about, like, their tradition and, like, the old gods or whatever, and they're so oblivious to anything. Like, what do you mean? We don't have any culture. Like, we steal culture from other people. That's what they think. Wow. Like, it's really disgusting how indoctrinated those people are over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, just speaking about them controlling education, I just got to bring in this other dot, and people have heard this before, but George H.W. Bush signing into law the Education Day, which actually I think that had gone back to Nixon was the first one to honor Rebbe Schneerson's birthday.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think I've done reading that. Very interesting.
Yeah, and Rebbe Schneerson's birthday, the Messiah of Chabad, as some Jews see it, it was Education Day. It was made to Education Day, and George H.W. putting in the 7 Noahide laws into effect, which basically makes it such that if a Jew accuses a Gentile of a crime, he doesn't really even need to have any corroborating evidence. Jews can essentially just have you beheaded. What I found interesting was just, well, how this the Noahide laws are represented by the rainbow and the promotion we've seen of the rainbow and the rainbow in education, right? It is something that has often been associated with it. And I'm just thinking, oh, what are the children being taught these days? And you look at the trans freak thing that, not even just a little hot mess, then the one with the horns. No. Not Lactatia up in Canada. The one that was speaking at the Michelle Obama Library with the horns. I know what you're talking about. The bloody phallic horns popping out of its head, reading to kindergartners or...
Oh, this makes me so angry.
You know, and... It's bad.
I mean, it's basically mind control. It's like trauma-based mind control. You're traumatizing these kids. Like, what? I mean, what kind of grasp of reality are you getting when you're getting, you know, you're having this man that's dressed like a woman with horns and bizarre makeup reading you a story about puppies or whatever? Like, what does that do to a child's mind that's developing their perception of what this world is? Think about that.
What about reading Night by Eli Weasel or any of any of those other stories?
We did that in school.
We did that, yeah.
Trauma-based mind control.
Yeah, we did that in your school.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah, I've only been out for a couple of years. We did that my senior year, I think. Yeah, but it's just total propaganda.
Yeah,
I think they're pushing early.
We were forced to watch Schindler's List, and you know, my English teacher sitting there crying, while the rest of the class is trying not to fall on the floor laughing, watching the whole entire movie.
Well, how old are you, Tyler?
19.
Oh, wow. So I'm talking to two very young guys here.
That's really cool.
Matthew, you want to share how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 20. I'll be 21 in February, finally. Are you a student up there, Tyler? You going to Grand Valley or anything?
No, I'm just working.
Okay. Yeah, same. I didn't go. I used to go. My brother went to Grand Valley, so I know Grand Rapids pretty well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I figured I shouldn't. We're already debt slaves. I didn't want to drive myself further down the rabbit hole.
Yep, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, so it's good that I'm seeing a lot more young people get it. And wow, you two are much more aware than a lot of people I knew at that age. Almost everyone.
Wow.
But I think there is an awakening happening with the youth. I've seen some glimmers of it, and it's not just, you know, people playing the beer pong with the swastika and the Jew star, you know, all across the country. And I mean, I've read stories from all different schools where having trouble with people Sig Heiling to each other and just making Jew jokes and everything like that. I mean, that's the kind of crass manifestations of an awakening. I think there's something deep going on as well. I don't know how much you two could speak of that in your own experiences with people around your age. How alone are you out there?
It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I did stupid shit. Like, I'd be at a bonfire and I'd start talking about how Hitler didn't do anything wrong. And there's so much mind control. Like, unless people see the evidence and they're deprogrammed from that, you don't take that too well. Like, well, this kid thinks Hitler didn't do anything wrong. So there's definitely certain ways, appropriate ways to approach subjects. And you definitely have to lay the information out before you do it.
Tyler, what about you?
I'd say there's on a lot of students, there's that seed being planted, especially because I went to a very small town school. Like, there was our school and then there was Giant Cornfield and Giant Cornfield. And, you know, over 4 years, you know, the amount of non-whites in that school just doubled. And of course, misbehavior went up and all that stuff. But there's that seed being planted where this white identity among students is starting to come out. But I took German in high school, and my German teacher would have us, you know, have conversations with her in German. I tried to debate the Holocaust with her in German, and that didn't end very well, but it was an attempt.
Yeah. It's
hey, I do have. Let me slip something in here real quick, guys, because okay. We're almost out of time. I want to talk. I want everybody to pay attention to Joy Vila. Now she's a black girl who's running for maybe 30 or whatever, running for Congress, in Florida. Now she's a Trump supporter. She's Roger Stone's girl. Like, admittedly, Roger Stone is prepping her. Trump gave her a shout out on Twitter. She's a Scientologist. So if you don't know what Scientology is and who L. Ron Hubbard, in a nutshell, Scientology is very well connected intelligence and sophisticated mind control.
And connected to Trump.
Yes, to the whole movement. And it's funny because they're lifting up this Scientology girl who is a terrible singer, but yet Scientology has given her a career in music. And so I want everybody to pay attention to her. I don't think this is going to work for him. It's pretty ridiculous. And she started off by supporting Bernie Sanders. So she blew her cover. She's an obvious operative.
Speaking of black Scientologists, are you aware that the Nation of Islam has essentially married themselves to Scientology, yeah, much to the chagrin of many of the members?
They call it free zoning. Yeah, exactly.
What? Yep. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. This was some kind of alliance. It was probably big, big bucks that Calypso Louis made off of this.
Oh, my God.
He would do interviews with Alex Jones and stuff and started off by saying that Trump wasn't a bad guy. Louis Farrakhan, it's ridiculous. Like, but again, he's one of those messiah figures like Trump where people will just blindly follow whatever he says.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Trump's only donation, what was it, in the aftermath of September 11th, or I forget exactly what it was, but the only donation he made was to a Scientologist group.
Wow.
Yes, yeah. I forgot what that was too, but I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, it's some weird connections. And actually connecting in to the trolls that we've had, the Process Church of the Final Judgment, it connects into Charles Manson and to this movement. They even use process symbolism. That was an offshoot of the Church of Scientology, founded by former Scientologists.
Hmm. Was that out of Laurel Canyon too?
I'm sure they were, had something to do with that.
It was California, I believe, but I don't know if it was.
Yeah, I bet it. That's interesting. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. Weird group.
The Subgenius.
Yeah, the Process Church. Oh, yeah, the Subgenius and the Discordians, right?
Yeah, the Discordians.
And funny how Discord. Everybody uses Discord. They think that they're anonymous on Discord.
Yeah, they use Discord for their little outright chats.
They've already been prosecuting people for being on Discord prior to the Charlottesville rally, and yet people are still sucked into using Discord. I mean, it's just interesting that this came about as something really big after much, I don't know when exactly it started, but I only heard of it after we were talking about the Discordians.
Yeah.
Some obscure movement.
Hail Eris.
Yeah, these people, hail chaos, and you have all of these chaos promoting, Keck, the god of chaos, with their meme magic, which was essentially just this chaos magic that Alexander Dugin promotes with his chaos star, the eight-pointed star there.
I love Aleister Crowley. Did a whole tribute to him.
Yeah, so you have these ridiculous connections. And you should check this out if you haven't, Matthew and Tyler. There's this Subgenius advertisement. What was that called? The church. Just
church,
if you search
the Subgenius on YouTube, it'll probably pop up.
Yeah. So you have all these people in NS like armbands who are. It's part of a kind of a satirical commercial trying to advertise for the Church of the Subgenius, and they have them all basically saying, "Are you tired of all the normals out there who just don't get it?" So they're calling people essentially normies. What we're seeing here has its roots going back quite a way, and it is a big, big psychological operation that's been waged against us by some sophisticated people. Mm-hmm. You could call them black box people nowadays, black magicians, sorcerers. I think that this is really a spell that they're trying to cast on us to keep us confused, dazed and confused. And also comfy cozy. That's a big part.
Grouper.
That's a big part of the alt-right and Pepe and all the rest. It's keeping people thinking that their guy is in control. Time to get comfy cozy and just ride this out because it's everything's looking, you know, like it's going in our direction.
Yeah, we're winning, right? It's that synthetic nationalist stuff. And I just looked up that process Church of the Final Judgment, and they have the variation of, I had someone debating me with this the other day, the Maltese cross, and they said the Maltese cross was two mirrored swastikas, and that's what this logo looks like.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're starting to see this Vatican, because that was adopted by the Vatican, you're starting to see this Vatican cross everywhere, at least I have. And that's an Easter egg for people who understand what the Council for the National Policy is, who understand what the JBS is. I think it's our duty as citizens to expose. I mean, it's so crucial right now to expose what this stuff is, because so few people understand CNP and the Nixon boys and the rest of it.
Nick Spiro wrote an article for the Tribune. He only wrote a few. One of them was called The Cross and the Crown. I suggest people go check that out. And it shows how this symbol, the cross and the crown, runs through all of these groups, including, I think it was Aryan Nations with Butler, and, you know, Scientology and these religious fanatics on the right and the CNP. The cross and the crown, that's another one of those symbols that you need to keep your eyes out for. They might not use it as much. All right, well, we have almost no time left. I want to say, Matthew, I'll be speaking with you in 2018. Let's do it one of the first shows that we have available there. I want to get deeper into your research regarding Nixon and the rest. And Tyler, thanks so much for calling in. Either you'd like to offer some final words here for us.
It's been an honor to be on the show again, and I think we had a great conversation.
Thanks, Tyler. Keep publishing over at Renegade Tribune. Hope people check it out. Matthew, thanks a lot for calling in the second hour.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on again, and I look forward to our show in 2018. It's going to be important information.
Fantastic. I look forward to it as well, and I know that the audience does too. They really had a good response to our show, and it is very refreshing to see some young people who actually get it, not going down the alt-right shitlord route. Yeah. So disappointing to see so many people getting sucked in, especially if they could be genuine people. And I want to thank you for staying up with me here by my side.
Absolutely. I hope everybody has a good Yuletide, Christmas, whatever you want to
call it. Can you give us one more King of Israel? Not as loud, it won't wake him up.
Born is the King of Israel.
Is that Trump? The Zog Emperor?
He's the King of Israel. Go to sleep nice and comfy cozy tonight, knowing that we live in Zog.
Happy Yuletide. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for calling in to the genuine people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too. Listen, stay tuned, everyone. Much more coming up.
That's so ridiculous, so many people.
Over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? But agree they did. And what they agreed was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program. And it's not just Hayas. Jewish organizations of all kinds across the spectrum of Judaism are issuing statements in support of refugees. These have included the Orthodox Union, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and so many of the Jewish organizations that you've heard are co-sponsors of this event.
Faces flash up, rocks on swing, shining armors piercing the wind. Horses run with a polished shield, fight those bastards till they yield. Midnight man, blood red rose.